blood of Jesus that washes and cleanses us. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. We declare that blood covering every area of our lives, our spirit, our soul, our body. For those here, for those watching, the blood that helps even correct our thinking. In the name of Jesus, that liquid love that is pouring out. And we say, Father, we receive the blood of Jesus covering our lives today. We thank you that the wicked one cannot touch us. He cannot penetrate through that blood. And so we thank you right now for the blood covering us, our loved ones, for those that, Father, couldn't make it tonight over this whole body, Victory Life Family Church. We thank you, Father, that you are covering us. Covering us. There's a covering up over us, a covering of protection. In Jesus' name, glory to God. We thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. If you agree, say amen. Praise God. You may be seated this evening. Welcome to Wednesday night service. Here we go. Praise God. Welcome to you watching. It's a blessing to have you with us. We want to remind you, if you're first time watching or hearing about us, our website is blfc.church. How many of you have been on our website, blfc.church? I want to encourage you, go to the website. You can find out more about us. All the past sermons are there, audio, video, notes, pastor's daily devotional. I read it this morning. I shared it with a friend. It was so good. You can literally pull it up on your phone. And as I was reading it, I was reading it for me, but the Holy Spirit brought somebody to my attention that needs this word that I read this morning. So I saw her today. I said, let me share this with you. And so what a blessing to be able to encourage her with that word. So thank you, Pastor Rodney. I believe it brings freedom. Yes, we're going to get it in print. Amen. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, Instagram with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. And if you're a social media buff and you have some ideas for social media, let us know, because we don't have this on here for volunteers. But I want to also say, if you're interested in social media and you want to volunteer in that area, let us know as well. And so speaking of volunteers, we have the sign up sheet over here on this table for greeters, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and the worship team. Thank you all for signed up. I think almost everybody here has signed up in an area to serve. Amen. Or multiple areas. So we really appreciate that, because it takes all of us. And I'll probably say it again and again, but you know, this is at the house of the Lord, but in your own personal homes, everyone who's there has jobs to do, right? And sometimes those jobs get more and more and more. We're finding out lately, and it's wonderful. But, you know, it takes everybody to work together in a house, right? Everyone has a chore or a task or things to do. It's the same thing in the house of God. And when we're all working together, it's like a finely tuned machine, you know. But not only that, you're sowing your time, you're sowing your talents. That's part of my offering message. Sunday's doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is 9:20 to 9:40. And service starts at 10. Come early for fellowship. Same with Wednesdays. Doors open at 6 and service starts at 6:30. And we love to have you come early and visit and just have some time together. It's still dark outside when we come and go, but soon it'll be light. I guess the daylight savings is in 2 weekends already.
Wow.
I know. So we'll have to remind you all of that. Spring forward. Let there be light. Yeah. This Friday, we're having no Friday prayer. And let's see. I believe that's all the announcements for tonight. And so it is offering time. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 9. Kind of a continuation from my Sunday message, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 9. You know, God, he desires to meet our needs. He desires to heal us. The price has already been paid. Why? Simply because he loves us. When we understand and know that love, and we just say, Father, we receive your love, then it makes it so much easier to connect with his desire for us, to prosper us. So notice, it's his desire. And he tells us how to get there. It's the law of sowing and reaping. He's given us a system by which the kingdom operates. That is the system, sowing and reaping. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. I didn't read verse 7 on Sunday, but 7 says, "Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Say, "I always harvest what I plant." So those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Say, "I'm not giving up." I'm here to remind you again, we're not giving up. Amen. We're not giving up. And there's things that we've even forgotten about that I believe the Lord's bringing back to our remembrance, things we've sown for, things we've believed for in the past that maybe it's been so long, or maybe it seemed like a hard road and we just said, forget about it. But you know what? God is faithful and he's going to keep reminding us of those seeds sown, because he is going to bring it to pass when we do not faint, relax, or loosen our hope, but we're going to continue to trust him. So what naming your seed does, we're talking about our seed and we want to name our seed, okay, is establish a point of contact for your faith. So at times, and always really, we need a point of contact to latch onto with our faith. So yes, our financial gifts, also our time and our talent when you are sowing your time. Thank you, Mom. She was vacuuming before church tonight. What a blessing. What a servant's heart. And so that's sowing of your time. Praise God. And when you serve in the church, those areas that we talked about, that's sowing of your time. That is sowing a seed, and you can expect to reap a harvest in your own life. So we have faith in God. We have faith in the process of which he designs the system. And that item becomes our point of contact. It's our seed that we name. So when you're sowing your seed in the offering, here's an example. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34 tells us of the woman with an issue of blood. So she knew that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be made whole. And not only that, she spoke it. She said it. Those were seeds in themselves. Those seeds of words create the doors even to the doors to open. It creates even the path we're walking on. So she knew that if she could touch his hem of the garment, she'd be made whole. The hem was her point of contact. It gave her something tangible to stretch her faith towards, right? When she touched his garment, she was indeed made whole. Praise God. And I said, note again, she spoke it first. So the hem of Jesus' garment did not heal the woman in the story. Jesus said it was her faith that made her whole. And that's verse 34. So likewise, when we're given our money, our time, our talent, and naming that seed for our breakthrough or harvest, it will not in itself create prosperity and healing. But however, if we're led by the Holy Spirit to sow a seed as a point of contact for breakthrough, which is harvest in a certain area of life, then you can definitely use it as an anchor for your faith, right? Faith is believing and speaking. God plainly said that we will walk in his blessings when we sow in the Spirit. So what matters ultimately is that we are seeking the Spirit of God and receiving his direction in our lives. So when the Lord has led us on a specific path of faith, we can expect results. So always remember, your healing, your prosperity are found in him. And I just want to say that, you know, he leads us. We seek him on what it is to sow. Even in the offering, you know, tonight, we're checking with him. He will give us a direction in that. It's not just we're throwing money in a bucket or the basket as it goes by, and this is my duty, right? We're hearing from heaven because he also has a harvest attached to that seed you're sowing. We're hearing from heaven. Okay, I want to serve as an usher. I want to serve as a greeter. I want to serve on the worship team. I want to serve on the media. Maybe I don't understand all of media, but it keeps coming to me. I should sign up for that. I should talk to pastor about that. Well, that's a reason why he's getting you in a position for your harvest and also to be a blessing to the house of God. Amen. So praise God. If you're sowing this evening, there's offering envelopes under your seat, under the seat in front of you. If you are giving by cash or card, please write the amount, your name, and sign if it's by a card, and also write your address. If you're giving by check, please make it to VLFC. If you're giving online, your information's on the screen. And let's pray over our offering tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to sow seed. We thank you that we can hear your voice in every area of our life. For those areas that we're searching and wondering, we don't have to wonder anymore because you have the answer. You have every answer. And so I thank you tonight as we're hearing the word answers come. And I thank you tonight as we're sowing our seed. The manifestation of the harvest is on the way. We call forth the harvest of the blessing into each household, into each seed sown for all of us here, for those watching. We thank you for the honor to sow in the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be in the house of the Lord here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Right now, just place your hands on your belly. Amen. You know, man is a three parts being. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. At the new birth, you know, your natural body was not born again. Your mind, your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, was not born again, but your spirit, man, is a new creation in Christ. But now we are inviting Holy Spirit into every part of our lives to move in spirit, soul, and body to take over these areas in us. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We invite you to every part of us. We receive utterance. We are asking you for utterance in the Holy Spirit, Lord, here in this service tonight, but Lord, beyond this, Lord, in every part, every facet of our lives, Lord, we are intimately aware of you. And so, Lord, just in the day to day, Lord, in all things, the least and the greatest things, we are acknowledging you. And Holy Spirit, we are asking you to have your way, have your will in our lives. Yes, in this service tonight. And Lord, as you move, we say yes, we'll follow. As you lead, we'll follow. Yes, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will listen and obey when your spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Lord, yes. Let's all sing it together. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will listen and obey when your spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. One more time. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will listen and obey when your spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Amen. Quick to listen, quick to obey. Huh? Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And yes, we are the sons of God. In Christ Jesus, we have been recreated, received into the family of God as sons. Yes, and we receive the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit is here speaking, leading, and guiding all the time. And Lord, we are on purpose tuning in to hear what you have to say and being quick and faithful to do it. And Father, we thank you for that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, hard copy, soft copy, whatever you have, hold it up big together. Let's say, this is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be sharing here tonight again on, guess what? Faith. The subject of faith. Everything is attached to faith. Everything in the kingdom of God is received by faith. Again, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Amen. So faith, as we come to say, faith is the currency of the kingdom. You know, we don't earn anything in the kingdom. Grace has already provided salvation and everything you could ever need in this life and the hereafter. Grace has already freely provided it. So how do you receive it? By faith. I acknowledge. So again, Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says, I pray that the sharing or the joint participation of your faith may become effective. As you acknowledge every good and perfect thing that's in you in Christ. He's already put it in you in Christ. He says, now as you will partake of that, as you will be a joint participator in this, he says, now it's going to become alive, it's going to become active, it's going to become effective. It's in you the whole time. And it can either lie dormant or it can be on full display. You get to decide, am I going to believe God at his word? Am I going to act in faith in what he has said? Or am I just going to let this lay on the shelf? You know, healing comes with your salvation. But if and until you will acknowledge the healer in you, healing will never be activated in your life. As long as you're claiming cold and flu, sickness and disease, arthritis and bursitis and nidusis and so on and so forth, that's how it's going to be in your life, right? But you've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. And your inheritance is not someday. It's now. It's now. Praise God. So tonight, we're going to be looking at the new creation reality. And our foundation scripture for this here in our notes is Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for the gospel reveals the righteousness of God that comes how? By faith, from start to finish. Oh, I like that. It comes by faith from the start to the finish. From beginning to end, it's by faith. And he says, just as it is written, and again, this is, he's actually quoting the Old Testament here. He says, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Now, this actually came from the Old Testament, and it runs throughout the New Testament. It has always been, will always be by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not an event. Amen? Faith is a lifestyle. So if we're going to live by faith, walk by faith, do everything we do by faith, if faith is going to thrive in us, amen, then it must be built on this legal side of redemption, the legal side of redemption, which is what God has accomplished in Christ for us on our behalf. Amen. So I was meditating on this, and we've been being very foundational in sharing on faith. Even here recently, we were talking about really the foundation of faith itself is integrity in God's word. If you don't believe God, if you don't believe that he said that Jesus is the Christ, you know, and Jesus himself said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one's getting to the Father except by me. He said, anybody that tries to come any other way is a thief and a robber. He also said there, I am the doorkeeper. You know, if you're not coming through this door, you ain't getting in. Amen. So if we don't trust in the integrity of God's word, you know, then we have no basis for faith, none whatsoever. You know, if I don't believe a word you say, well, you know, that's hard for me to, and I'm not going to be able to exercise faith on anything that you've said. Right? But if I know the integrity of your word and you say something to me, well, yeah, I can believe that. Why? Because I know you. I've understood your word, which I understand your word. I've seen your character. So now when you speak, yeah, if Dorothy says she's going to be here, if she says she's going to do that, amen, or what have you, this is God. This is God. God, the word says God's not a man that he should lie. So again, we examine the integrity of God's word. But, you know, they can hear also, if I don't understand my legal side of redemption, if I don't understand my identification in Christ, then I will not operate in faith. I will not act on any type of authority. And again, these things that have been imparted to me at the new birth will just lie dormant. And many Christians have lived in this place over the course of their lives. And again, they may have revelation in this or revelation in this other area, but by and large, they're not walking in the fullness of their redemption. Why? Because they don't understand this legal side of it. They don't understand the identity that they have in Christ. They oftentimes will think of themselves as a forgiven sinner. You know, growing up, I used to hear this over and over again. Well, you know, we're just old sinners saved by grace. You know, and they would laugh, ha, ha, ha. But honestly, they believed that. They really thought in those terms, which was a major hindrance to their faith. Why? Well, and they preached it. No, there's none righteous. No, not one. Well, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, they didn't read the next verse. Read that passage in context over in Romans 3. He's not talking about the unrighteousness. He's talking about the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But we need to understand and see these things, because faith is not an event. It is a lifestyle, and it is to flow, amen, out of your spirit. Faith is to flow naturally out of your spirit, just like your natural body is breathing air. You don't have to think about breathing air. You know, we have a baby girl in here, you know, be 3 weeks old tomorrow. You know, when she came out of the womb, no one had to tell her, now, baby, you need to breathe. Open up your mouth and breathe. No, she's just breathing, right? It's just as natural to a fish, you know, swimming through the water. That is to be the lifestyle of the believer in faith. Everything, faith is just this natural response, because I know my Father. I believe what he said. And when he tells me I'm righteous, when he tells me I'm loved, when he tells me I'm redeemed, well, I just believe it. And now I'm just acting in response to it. And he calls that faith. Amen. And now there's a flow. There's the kingdom of heaven is now flowing to me and through me. Hallelujah. Now I'm able to function as an ambassador in the earth, because I know who I am, I know whose I am, and I know why I'm here. Amen. Praise God. And I'm here to do it the way God does it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I was thinking about this as well. You know, here in our lives has long been, and it is the number one core value of Victory Life Family Church, and that is the Word of God It is the first and it's the final authority. If God said it, that settles it. There's nothing else to consider. I don't have another thought. I don't have a better idea. I don't even have to understand. But if God says it, I trust him. I take him at his word. Amen. And I trust in now what we're saying. I trust in the integrity of his word. Hallelujah. And I've made his word my word. Glory to God. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. To live by faith, we must see ourselves the way that God sees us, as a new creation, as righteous, as reconciled, and filled with the very life and the same Spirit of God himself. The word says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who has been joined to the Lord has become one spirit with the Lord. Same Spirit, same life, same Holy Ghost, same name. He's given us the name. Every part of him he has given to us. Everything he came to this earth to accomplish, he did it not for him, he did it for me. He did it for me. He died for me. He took stripes for me. He went to hell for me. Ah, thank you, Jesus. We're going to see more about that. So the legal reality of the new creation. And number one, I want to look at what Christ became for us. So I have this passage here, 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Say, I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. What old? The sinful nature. The old sinful you died. It has passed away. It's 6 feet under. He says, behold, the new has come. Again, these are all past tense. Has passed away. The new has come. All this is from God who reconciled. Again, past tense. I'm not waiting to be reconciled. I'm not waiting on this. This is not a someday gospel. Amen. This is what Christ has already accomplished. So he said, all this is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You are all ordained ministers. Every single one of you at the new birth, you became an ordained minister of reconciliation. Hallelujah to Jesus. Here is your ordination right there. He has given to you the ministry of reconciliation, and it was God who was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against them. Say hallelujah to Jesus. And he has committed us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God, now hear this, made him. God made him. God made him. Him who? Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has one righteous standard. You're either perfectly righteous or you have a sin nature. Adam and Eve just did one thing, one time, and they went from being perfectly righteous to perfectly unrighteous. There's no gray area with righteousness. Amen. There's one standard, and it's God himself. And now he says here, you have been made the righteousness of God. You weren't, and nothing you did or could do could ever merit that. He says, so I just made you that way. I just made you that way. Hallelujah to Jesus. So again, look in here. Jesus Christ on the cross was made to be sin with whose sin? My sin, our sin. And then Christ dies the death of a sinner. So we examined this here in times past, but around noontime on the cross, and you can actually go through some of the Psalms and you see those laid out there, but it was around noontime that Jesus on the cross is made sin. Now, he physically dies 3 hours later. From there, he goes to hell. But on the cross, he is made to be sin. And then Jesus cries out, Father, why have you forsaken? And he's speaking on our behalf in this place. He's made to be sin, and a holy God cannot live in the presence of sin. So this is why Jesus says, "Why have you forsaken me?" Yes, I can't be here, right? In that moment, Jesus died spiritually. 3 hours later, he dies physically. But at noontime was when spiritual death is entered into him. He's made to be sin. Again, he's there as the Lamb. He's there to receive the sin of the world, and it was placed on him. It was placed on him, and then Christ goes to hell where sinners go, and he pays the sin price. The price had to be paid. Somebody had to pay it. Hey, man, thank God it wasn't me and it wasn't you. He did it for us. Hey, man, but most importantly, he rises on the third day. Glory to God. And there he is gloriously resurrected. And 40 days later, he's ascended on high to the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. He's the resurrected King. Thank you, Jesus. Now, number two, what happened to us in him? This is what happened to him. This is what happened to Christ. But now what happened to us in him? Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Amen. I've been crucified. I have been crucified. I've been crucified. Well, you know, when you confess Jesus as Lord, no one went and stuck you up on a cross. I'm not talking about flesh and blood. I'm talking about your spirit. Heaven has it recorded you became Christ when you confessed Christ. Your life in Christ dates back 2,000 years in the spirit. Again, we just mentioned it, 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord has become one spirit with him. He occupies eternity. Now, you may have confessed Christ yesterday, but in the spirit, you go back a couple thousand years. I have been crucified with Christ. I went to hell with Christ. And most importantly, I've been raised with Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Every part, every time you see anything about Christ, recognize that's you. That's me. Amen. Every time the Bible, so again, the Bible, there's roughly in the New Testament, roughly 180 references to in him, by him, through Christ. There's about 40, give or take, that are really highly significant. Amen. But every time you see this, highlight it, underline it, stop, meditate it, declare it over yourself by Christ, through Christ, with Christ. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm healed in Christ. Whatever these things are, see yourself, because this is what God is saying. This is who you are, what you have, what you can do now that you're in Christ. This is what I am. Praise God. So again, I must identify with my new nature. I must identify with my new nature in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I'm going to see what God sees the way he sees it. I'm going to call it the way he calls it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we saw here a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Again, through the body of his flesh, amen, that was the open door for us to make that exchange. Hallelujah. This is what Christ did for us on the cross is the legal act of redemption, which he bought and paid for in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Thank you, Jesus. Now that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, his life is now my life. Now again, we're identifying with every part. When he dies, I die. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised, I was raised. When you see Christ ascended, that's when you ascended. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended. in the spirit, where are you right now? Where? In heaven. Oh, yes, yes. Let's turn over there real quick. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. You see, there's no time or distance really in the spirit. In the spirit, there is eternity. Thank you, Jesus. We God lives in eternity, and we're right there with him right now. So I can be present in this body, and yet at the same time, I can be present at the right hand of the Father. The word tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised. Well, that's interesting. You were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above where Christ is, not will be, is sitting at the right hand of God. Now he's telling you what to do. Set your mind on those things and recognize your position. In Christ is a literal, even a physical, but a spiritual location. It actually exists. There is a place called heaven. There is a throne of God, and there is a throne right next to it where Jesus Christ, Son of God, is sitting. And in Christ, you are seated right there with him right now. For all of eternity, you are in that position in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen. So we know at his coming, this body, physical body, is going to put on glory. It's going to put on the same glory of Christ himself, and you're going to see it. In the natural realm, it will become manifested even in the natural realm. Hallelujah. And again, the same glorified body that Jesus received when he was resurrected is the same glorified body that we're going to receive. You can still sit and eat fish and honeycomb and walk through walls all at the same time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the good things we have to look forward to. But he says right now, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. But now he's telling you, set your mind, fix your gaze. Don't look at anything else. Look to God. Look to who you are in Christ. Be meditating on who I am, what I have, what I can do now that I'm in him. Meditate on I've been made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh. Meditate on that. Meditate on that. When you know you're righteous, when you know you're righteous, when you know what your rights are, when you know what your privileges are in the kingdom, you won't settle for second best. You won't settle for, well, you know, you just never know. No, I know who I am. I know what I have. I know what belongs to me, and I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it that way. Hallelujah. I found this out a long time ago when it came to especially concerning sickness and disease. Oh, number one, I know I'm righteous. I know the integrity of God's word, and there's no way I'm going to allow Satan to come in here and put sickness and disease on this body. Can't do it. And then I'm meditating over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, and I see that my body, he says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says, so I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, both of which are God's. So it doesn't make any sense to my thinking for the temple of God, literally the dwelling place of the glory of God, to be in this temple, for this body to, he says, this is his body. He says, I purchased it. He says, I purchased your body at, oh, what a price. Now, my participation in this is to enforce Christ's victory. My participation is to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to come in or own God's property. you're trespassing here. You must go right now in the name of Jesus. But if I don't recognize my identity, then I will not exercise my authority. I'll say it again. If I do not understand my identity, I will not exercise my authority in Christ. The victory comes by exercising authority, which comes from identity, which comes from the integrity of God's word. There's a flow. Amen. And faith, this lifestyle of faith is to be a flow. Again, this is to be as natural to my spirit man as breathing air is to my natural man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But this is why it takes mind renewal. It takes mind because, again, your soul, your mind and will and emotions was not born again at the new birth. My spirit man was made perfect. My mind needs to be renewed to that truth. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share this here. Why many believers live defeated? Many Christians are defeated because they will not take a stand on the word of God in faith against the devil because they do not see themselves as righteous. I know we touched on this a minute ago, but I want to go a little bit deeper on it. What's really happening is, In one sense, yes, they're taking sides against God and against His Word. They think they're being humble. They're being rebellious, is what's really happening. What they're really saying is, God, I don't think what You did in Christ was enough. I don't believe in that sacrifice. I don't have faith in the blood. You know, and I did this and I did that, so I'm just a worm in the dust. I'm just that old sinner, you know. I know You saved me, but I'm still just that old sinner. Because again, they're judging according to their flesh instead of judging according to their recreated, born-again spirit man in Christ. Amen? So again, remember Jesus at the cross, noontime, He's made to be sin. At that moment, the presence of the Father departs from Him. God cannot stand in the presence of unrighteousness. He can't stand in the presence of sin. Can't do it. That sin's going to get burned up, right? Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Again, they're judging themselves according to the flesh instead of according to their new nature in Christ. And what they're really doing is laying aside, setting aside the blood of Christ, which has made them the righteousness of God. You know, you've heard us say it here, and growing up over the years, we heard, you know, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't really understand what that meant, and no one really explained it that best I can recall. But looking at this and really meditating on this, plead is a legal term. It's what, you know, so in the courtroom, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty? And this is taking place in the life of a believer every day. How do you plead? Satan's bringing thoughts. He's bringing temptations. Maybe you even acted upon them. But how do you plead today? I plead not guilty. I plead the blood. So when we say I plead the blood, what you're saying is I present my case. And yes, I know these accusations have come against me today, but I plead the blood. And what am I really saying? I plead righteous. I plead not guilty. I plead redeemed. I plead free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. So again, when we plead the blood, we are declaring the blood of Jesus has settled the issue of my righteousness, and I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. Yeah, but I know what you did. Who are you talking to? Flesh or spirit? There's a difference. Hallelujah. And so again, we have it over in 1 John 1:9. If you miss the mark in your flesh, and you most likely will, he says, that's okay. I'm not condoning it. I'm not encouraging it, but you can run to the Father and plead the blood of Jesus. He says, I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Why? So that you can have a pure conscience free and clear before God, so that I can have my faith function as it ought to, so that I can stay in this flow of believing and receiving in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Think about the life of Jesus. Think about all the miracles, the loaves and the fishes and all of these healings. How did that function in his life? Jesus didn't earn any of these things. He operated perfectly by faith, and it just flowed from this kingdom into this natural world. What did Jesus come when he said here at the beginning of his ministry? What was he preaching? What was Jesus preaching? The kingdom is now here. And how did he manifest the kingdom? By faith. He's just reaching over in the spirit by faith and receiving what already belongs to him in this kingdom and now manifesting it in this natural world. And then he turns around and says, over here, we just read it, 2 Corinthians 5. He says, I've made you ministers of reconciliation. I've called you to be an ambassador of Christ. It's not just in a word, but it's indeed in action. The Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Whoever's going to believe is going to be saved. But then he goes on to say, when you encounter the devil, not if, but when you do, in my name, cast him out. What are we doing? We're taking kingdom territory. Satan, you have invaded this world, and now I'm here to cast you out and put things in order. You put sickness and disease on this person, I'm supposed to come over here in the name of Jesus, lay hands on you, and allow this faith flow to flow through me to you to minister healing to your body. I'm not healing you, but I'm just hooked up to the kingdom that is healing. Amen? Only believe. And then we won't see there in Mark 16, verse 20, and God, they went out, they were preaching, they were doing all those things, and the word says, and God was with them, confirming his word.
Yes.
The signs, the wonders, the miracles, every part of it, by faith, by faith, by faith. They preached by faith, they cast the devil out by faith, they laid hands on by faith, they did it all by faith, and it worked, and it worked, and it worked. And it worked. Amen. Praise God every day, every time. Thank you, Jesus. It's no different. Jesus modeled it. The apostles modeled it. You can go through the book of Acts. Matter of fact, last year, the beginning of 2025, we taught a 12-part series on the name of Jesus. And a big part of that series, we went through specifically the book of Acts and a few others, and we looked at every example of how they were ministering, and specifically when they were using the name of Jesus. And every time you saw it, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle through all these different folks, not even just the apostles, just everyday lay ministers doing the same thing, modeling the exact same way, and it worked for them the same way it worked for Jesus, and it works today the same way. Amen?
Yes.
It's his word. Faith in his word. Faith in his word will work for anybody. God, all right, Romans chapter 2, verse 11, God is no respect. We don't have to turn there. It says God is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. He does honor faith. He does honor faith. Again, without faith, it's impossible. But with faith, Jesus said it, all things are possible. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. No matter what you need, no matter how big that mountain may be, all you need is a word from God, something to believe, something to act on. Jesus had a multitude in front of him who was hungry. And he was able to take a few little bitty fishes, probably sardines and a few crackers off of this little boy who offered his lunch up. And he multiplied it exponentially until everyone was fed and there's 12 baskets left over. Amen. What did he do? Now think about it. Where did all the fish and the bread come from? It wasn't here. It was not in the earth. Where did it come from? Where did the manna from heaven come from in the wilderness? Now, also thinking about this, they're over there in the wilderness, out in the desert. And at one point, he says it rained quail, and not just a few. It got deep of quail, right? Where did the quail come from? They're not in the desert, right? And there was like a whole sea of quail that was dead. Hallelujah. This kingdom came to this earth. Amen. His kingdom came to the earth. This was Jesus' prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is perfect healing. There is perfect abundance. Amen. Again, streets of gold, walls of precious stones. There's no lack in the kingdom. Amen. There's no lack in the kingdom. If there's no lack in the kingdom, there's no lack in me. Hallelujah. There's nothing that I have need of that I don't already possess or have access to. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is a guarantee. Whatever need you could ever possibly have, you didn't catch Jesus off guard. Oh no. How are we going to pay your rent? I didn't know about that one. No, he's got all the supply. Whatever he needs, and he's got an infinite number of ways of bringing it to you. Only believe, have faith in God. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. I want to close with this. But looking at this, this is what I call God's final verdict. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 through 18 says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and inscribe them on their minds. Then he adds, get ready to shout, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, an offering for sin is no longer needed. He says, your sins, your lawless deeds. I missed it, Pastor. I committed murder. That's not keeping you out of heaven. That's not keeping you from receiving your healing. Right? The only thing that's going to keep you out of heaven is not receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The only thing that's keeping you from receiving your healing is ignorance concerning the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Paul was known as Saul of Tarsus. He was a murderer. He was out killing Christians. And in a moment of time, he got saved. And he went on to write 2/3 of the New Testament and saw many signs and wonders performed through him. God used that man mightily. We're talking about him right now. Amen. You are not so far gone. God can use you. He can heal you. He can bless you. He can promote you. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Their sins, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, an offering for sin is no longer needed. It's no longer required. The blood of Jesus, we looked at this in times past. The blood of Jesus, when Jesus ascended, he took his blood and he applied it on the mercy seat in heaven. And what we saw here on earth in Solomon's temple, that was just a copy of what already existed in heaven. Now, God told them, even out in the wilderness, exactly what to do. I mean, right down to the very little details. And a number of folks, he put his wisdom in them to even help them to know how to fashion and create these things. And he does this right down to the fine detail. And then Solomon builds the temple. But when Jesus ascends on high, there's a temple that already existed there. And the scripture says he took his blood and he placed it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in that place. And now God sits in view of the blood and says, I am propitiated. I'm eternally satisfied with this blood, with this sacrifice. You don't need to come and offer anything else. That's enough. Once for eternity. That's enough. As long as his blood's on that mercy seat, I'm righteous. And it's not going anywhere. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, I was thinking about this. Imagine us standing in a courtroom. The accuser, say the devil, brings up every failure, every weakness, every sin you've ever committed. He piles up all the evidence, page after page, some more than others, trying to prove you unworthy. He's trying to prove you unworthy. But then the judge, God himself, bangs the gavel and says, objection sustained, evidence dismissed, this case has already been settled by the blood that's on the mercy seat over here. The accuser of the devil, he's angry. He's angry. He jumps up, tries to speak, but the judge interrupts. I said, I will remember their sins no more. Case closed. Yes. Amen. And then he turns over to you and he smiles. You are righteous. You are mine. You are free. Now go and live as a new creation in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. I have decided. There's one judge. One judge. And he's righteous. He's already ruled. He's already judged. He's already judged sin, and he's already judged Christ as righteous. My sin got judged, and I died the death. I've been crucified with Christ, rightfully so. When Jesus was made to be sin, he had to die. You were a sinner, you had to die. You did, but you were resurrected with his resurrection. I identified with every part of his life. I identify with his healing. I identify with his peace. I identify with his provision. I identify with every bit of it. It all belongs to me now. Not someday, but right now. Hallelujah. When we understand this, faith is easy. Again, faith is easy when you know these things. Again, Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. But what you don't know will keep you in bondage, because the devil, the accuser, is coming day and night to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can steal the truth, then that licenses him to destroy in your life. Amen. Say no more. Not me. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the legal reality of your redemption. When you understand the legal reality of redemption, again, now faith has a solid foundation from which to operate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Did you get something out of tonight? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. And Lord, even as in the days to come, even those watching, even as we're going back and feeding on these messages and feeding on these messages, Lord, we're asking you right now, we receive the word becoming alive and active. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Lord, yes, even though we may not get it the first time or the second time, Lord, I just think that they're just like peeling an onion. There are layers of revelation, Lord, that we are getting freer, we're coming up higher, and we're receiving all that you have prepared for us right now in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Well, the word tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't want to close this service out tonight with giving everybody an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life, to move out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. The word tells us in Romans again, 10:9-10, that if you'll believe it in your heart, confess Jesus out of your mouth, you shall be saved. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is the Christ. He is your Son. I believe that Jesus, you went to the cross, you bore my sin, my sicknesses and diseases. You bore all of my shame, guilt, condemnation. You went to hell. You paid the price. But on the third day, you were gloriously resurrected. And you have ascended. And right now, I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I too have ascended on high with him. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We believe, according to the scripture, those things we've shared with you tonight, that if you have confessed that, you are now saved. You are in the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father God, for your precious gift of your Son. In Jesus' name. Well, let's see. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we're going to be back here. Come early, 9:20 for pre-service prayer. But in the meantime, know this. God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.